The Chosen Families Project, where everybody is welcome. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Chosen Families Project. It's been a while since I last chatted with you all, and how are you guys? I hope you guys are doing well during this busy holiday season. The last episode I had released was way back in April of this year when I recorded the interview, which I was so honored to do, with the author Meryl Frank. Now, my last written episode I had written back in late April, but since then, you know, I had a lot of exciting things genealogy-wise this year that had come up, and you know, my priorities changed. Now, did this stop me from collecting photographs? Absolutely not. That's still what I do always. But a lot of things changed. One of the biggest things was my education into genetic genealogy. So when I went, I had the pleasure of attending the Ramapo College Investigative Genetic Genealogy Certificate Program. And that was in the spring of this year. So in the midst of doing these episodes, I was in the middle of also learning about genetic genealogy techniques, and I had the amazing pleasure of being able to work on not one, but two unidentified human remains cases. And one of those was actually solved and confirmed back in August of this year, and it was an amazing feeling to be able to have my first unidentified human remains case solved alongside an amazing team, and it was such a pleasure to work with. And currently, I've also the volunteer case facilitator, and I'm still working on the case I had worked on back in the spring. I can't say really any more details, but it's really such an honor to be able to do that. I was able to go to the conference back in July of this year, actually June, and I was able to be a volunteer as well there. And next year I'll be doing the same. And yeah, it's been such a wild roller coaster. I also, let's see. Yeah, I mean, the program took a lot of my time. And I'm also a founder for a new nonprofit called Wolfpack DNA. And for any of my listeners out there who have unidentified parents or adoptions in their family trees, I encourage you to please reach out to me and our team. We are such an incredible team of genealogists from the Ramapo program. And me and my fellow alumni are working to further develop this nonprofit together in the coming year to eventually not only work on those types of cases, but also actual law enforcement-based cases as well. So stay tuned. I do have a lot to come up, and I finally got around to having some free time to sit down, write, and be able to return some stuff back to families. You know, I collected so many photographs, which have been kind of ongoing projects, one of which is a photograph album which I believe goes back to the Conklin family group in New Jersey. But I am not sure. Actually, I correct myself, the Sickles family. But again, I am not sure. It's a full family photograph album I actually got on Facebook Marketplace, but there's only two photographs with names. And of course, the two, they're both children, and they have dates and full names and places. Actually, one of them doesn't. But I was unable to tie the families together. But based on the locations of the trees that I saw for the Sickles family, it seems to be likely the case. So stay tuned for that. I will be further researching that. And I'll start by telling you guys the story. So I just wanted to catch up. I know it's been a hot minute, but this photograph that I've recovered was absolutely lovely. It's When I saw it, I was immediately kind of enamored by it. It shows basically a young woman, or middle age, and she's sitting alongside her two young children, who on the back of the photograph are identified as her grandchildren. Now, this photograph was taken in Toledo, Ohio, by the photographer Van Loo and Trost. Now, some information to help me kind of place this photograph in time. This studio was formed in conjunction by William F. Van Loo and Frederick J. Trost in 1888. So we know that the photograph at least dates between 1888 and I believe he died in the early 1900s. So we have a nice little narrow window of when this family could be. When the grandchildren were born and when this woman and her two grandchildren would be there. And like I said, there was very helpful information on the back. The main clue, although it noted their husbands' surnames, I should say, and it noted a Miss Stephen Gager and her two grandchildren with the last name of Southard. So what I basically had to do was place a Stephen Gager or her a descendant with the married last name of Southard to these two people in Toledo, Ohio. So it took a little bit of work. And I have to say, the note, it's like two different, it's the same pen, but there's like an initial note that notes, and two Southern children, Southard, excuse me. And the next says her grandchildren, which is really interesting. And I've never seen a photograph like this. It's a beautiful portrait. And then, like, so once I got into the research, I was able to identify a woman of Anne Elizabeth Fish Gager. Now, it turns out that her stepdaughter Ella Gager had then married Frank Southard and had two children at the time the photograph would have been taken and had also resided in Toledo, Ohio. Now, Anne had resided in Buffalo at the time, but this could just be her visiting. And there was two grandchildren alive in the relative window of when the photography studio existed. And from there, I was able to contact a relative whose great grandfather, Harry Walter Peake, were first cousins with Anne, and he was ecstatic to receive it. So here is the story honoring the life of Anne Elizabeth Fish Gager and her family. Anne Elizabeth Fish, and it's Fish spelt with a Y, was born on the 7th of January 1846 in Norfolk, England, to parents Eldred Edmund Fish, born 1811 to 1849, and Elizabeth Peake, born 1812 to 1872. And her parents were married on the 27th of March 1846 in Downham, Norfolk, England. And she was then baptized on the 8th of March 1846 in Watlington, Norfolk, England. Now that I'm reading this out loud, I just noticed that they had her prior to being married, which is very interesting. And she was baptized in 1846, and then she had actually resided, according to the 1851 census, with her mother, who was noted as a widow, and her other sister. And her father was a surgeon, and this was, I have to say, this relative was absolutely amazing. They provided some awesome insight and information that I probably wouldn't have been able to figure out. And he was actually a surgeon aboard a whaling ship, and it was called the Coronet, and this was between 1837 to 1839. And this book that the relative had provided me is titled Rough Medicine: Surgeons at Sea in the Age of Sail by Joan Drouet. And her father, Eldred, seems to, I don't know how long his career seems to be, about maybe 10, 20 years, give or take. He had died at the very young age of 38 in Watlington, and Anna was only 3 years old at the time, and they were living in England. So it's kind of interesting to see, she had a very tragic early childhood in her life, being raised by a single mother in the mid-19th century. And then it seems by that point, her mom, Elizabeth, felt that the best option would be to come to America. And by 1856, about like 5 years later, they had moved, it was Anna and her sister Lucy, they had been residing in Buffalo, New York. And this was based on an advertisement that their mother had published in the Buffalo Courier Express in April of 1856. And this was for ornamental leather work, and it reads modeling wax flowers and feigning needlework. And it says, Miss E.E. Fish gives instruction in the above elegant and fashionable work. Also, crochet, netting, embroidery, flower painting, wool, and beadwork at the Commercial Hotel, room number 141, where specimens of the work may be seen. Tools, hardening fluid, varnish, coloring, and patterns will be supplied for the leatherwork. Frames, card baskets, brackets, and etc. are made to order. Ladies attended at their own residences if required. So we kind of have this evidence that their life kind of moved fairly quickly. So, you know, by when she's a young girl, they lose their father, who may, if he was a surgeon, and I didn't read this book too in-depth, and to me, you know, if he was a surgeon on a whaling ship, they would be going away for long periods of time. So I would imagine he might have not even been there for a large part of her life, which is such a shame. Now, the question comes, why did Elizabeth come to America, and specifically Buffalo? I mean, we know the answer to that before, from what I just said, because her husband, you know, she didn't have a husband. But why Buffalo? It's always an intriguing question we have to ask ourselves, you know, when a certain relative comes to a certain place. You know, I see this a lot of times with Italian immigrants, where they kind of come in droves, in groups, you know, and whole families, including the grandparents to even their great-grandchildren, if you really look, come in droves to the same area just because all their relatives are there, which totally makes sense. And the answer to that is because her parents, George Peake, who was born in 1786 and died in 1869, and Anne Whistler Peake, born 1791 to 1869, were also both from Norfolk, England, and they had been actually residing in Erie County, New York, as early as the 1850 census. So having those census records kind of provides, you know, really important evidence to family migration patterns. And if you notice, both George and Anne died in the same year, you know, right before the 1870 census. And Elizabeth was actually their eldest daughter of the family. And like I said, the relative is related through one of her siblings, through being first cousins. And she died basically only 3 years after her parents died on the 17th of June, 1872, at the age of 59. And also the relative, like I said, he's incredible. He had some pictures. One looks like it actually came almost like from a jewelry necklace, like a brooch. And another is like an engraving of George and Anne Peake. So it's really incredible. And I have included those images in the written blog. Meanwhile, I'm going to take the focus back to Anna. And Anna had married her husband, Stephen N. Gager, on the 1st of August, 1864, in Buffalo, New York. And just the way I figured that out was, and this, the Buffalo newspaper was really good in providing some really key information. And it says, on the 1st of August, by the Reverend J. Allison, Stephen N. Gager, Esquire of this city, and Anna Elizabeth, daughter of the late Eldred Edmund Fish, Esquire, surgeon of King's Lynn, Norfolk, Old England. So that right there is what kind of really helped, because it ties the Fish surname, her late dad, where he came from, and also Stephen. So it's really incredible, even though it's a very short little article, it's kind of really key. Now, for Stephen, this was likely his second marriage, based on the genealogy records. And prior census records for him indicate that he was married to a woman by the name of Mariah E. Hale, and this was prior to his marriage to Anna. And from this marriage, he had three children, Sarah, Fred, and Ella, and they were born in 1852, 1855, and 1858 consecutively. With Ella's death record also indicating that her mom was Mariah and not Anna. And, you know, so we have two things going. And, you know, again, you see this. You have a later marriage record way after the children are born, and also additional records of the children that note this. Now, I don't know too much about Mariah. I believe she was born probably about 1835 in New York, I want to say, or England. I have to double check that. But it's very, you know, having three young children without a mother was, you know, really, must have been really hard at the time. And although it wasn't indicated, the couple had then resided together with now Anna's three stepchildren in the 1875 New York census. And this is one of the only census records that I was able to find so far that showed the whole family unit kind of residing together in New York. And Stephen was noted as working as a real estate broker, so he had some money. So Anna's stepdaughter, her name was Ella Marie Gager, from Stephen's first marriage, and she married on the 30th of April, 1890, in Buffalo, New York. And this was to Frank Edward Southard. And this couple had then moved to Toledo, Ohio, and based on the births of their children, it seems, give or take, around 1893 to 1894, after the birth of their second daughter, and they had four children, Dorothy, Sarah, Francis, and Frank. So, and based on their birthplaces, it seems as if the family had moved there sometime in the early 1890s. And Sarah, their second daughter, was born on the 6th of March in 1893 in Buffalo. And based on the photograph being taken in Toledo, as there's only two grandchildren present at this time, it seems like the photograph was likely taken, and we can pinpoint it, to possibly around the autumn of 1893. The photograph itself, you can see that there's the oldest daughter at the time, Dorothy. She looks about two, and then the younger baby would have been probably less than a year old. So, and even though the photograph's not dated, kind of gives a really, and also based on Anna's death, there's a very narrow window of when this photograph could have been taken. So it's really interesting that I was able to be able to, you know, based on the records, you could actually pinpoint it. And one other tidbit I did want to throw in was that Stephen himself had actually experienced a scare. I wanted to throw this article in. I always love seeing kind of the interesting articles that come up in the daily lives and kind of paint a perspective of, you know, their daily lives. In 1897, Stephen had thought someone actually broke into his home, and it says, fired at them. Stephen N. Gager thought he heard burglars and used his revolver. Stephen N. Gager, real estate broker at number 49 10th Street, thought he heard burglars trying to get into his place Saturday night. He had fired several blank cartridges into the air to frighten them and awoke the whole neighborhood, but nothing was seen of the burglars. So, could he have been crazy? Could he have just heard something? Who knows? You know, it's very, very interesting. You know, he experienced a scare, woke up his neighbors, but, you know, I'm kind of glad that it seems, based on this, that he experienced really, besides the scare, nothing else kind of came from this. Now, Stephen was alone at this time because Anna, unfortunately, passed away on the 28th of February, 1895, in Buffalo, New York, and she was only 49 years old. And so to have, it's always, to me, finding these photographs so only a few years after someone's death is very, very interesting to me, because it's almost like, and, you know, I've had many of these kind of experiences, is you're kind of seeing probably one of the last photographs of someone before they died. And, yeah, I mean, this was give or take 2 years prior, but existing photographs, and it's quite incredible to be able to see that. And it's also interesting to really think that, you know, even though they are noted as her grandchildren and they're technically her step-grandchildren, you know, they decided to take this photograph because, you know, even though they're not her biological grandchildren, it seems very evident that this family had a lot of love. And Stephen had passed away sometime later, give or take about 10, 15 years later, on the 9th of September, 1909, also in Buffalo. And he was noted as passing at the age of 76. But his age I've seen kind of vary. And he died at the age of 88, according to his obituary. And both of Anna's death and Stephen's were both announced in the local Buffalo newspapers. And it says, on the February of 28th, in this city gathered into rest Anna Elizabeth Gager, beloved wife of Stephen N. Gager, aged 49. And then in September of 1909, it reads, entered into rest September 9th, 1909, in Buffalo, New York, Stephen N. Gager, aged 88 years, father of Sarah A. Gager and Miss Frank E. Southard of Toledo, Ohio, with the funeral being private. So, like I said, really incredible photograph. And I've been in really close communication with the relative themselves, and they've shared me some really awesome information that I wanted to share with you guys. And one thing I did want to note was, when I had reached out to them, and most of the time I reach out to these relatives through Ancestry, one of the coolest things was to see how ecstatic they were. I get told oftentimes and times again, as I've done this project for about, you know, 1.5, 2 years now, is people are just so amazed and honored that I would even reach out to them in the first place. And he was truly, truly ecstatic. And it always, you know, warms my heart to see that. And so I'm just going to read you some of our communications. And he notes that he was going to email a collateral relative, a cousin, who actually lives in, I won't say the state, but they're going to share the picture with them. And they'll be interested in kind of the serendipity, which was something I really, really loved the way they put it, which notes that a photo was taken in Ohio. It winds up somehow in an antique store in New Jersey, and then makes its way to another state, and then a digital copy gets sent to another state. So he writes, Anna Elizabeth Fish surely gets around. And it's really kind of incredible. And to think also, she was born in England. So very far traveled this photograph and the people within it have gone. And, you know, finding out those were her step-grandchildren, at first, as any genealogist, sometimes I have to question, I was like, I thought they were her biological grandchildren, but yeah, those were her step-grandchildren. Another fascinating thing was, like I said, you know, I just from the photograph alone, it gives like an aura of the amount of family love. And he writes that a collateral relative in Buffalo, in the Buffalo area, wrote a letter to me that Anna's stepson-in-law, Frank Southard, came with his wife and children to her maternal grandmother's, Miss Christopher Peake's sister-in-law, to Anna's mother, family reunions. So, that's crazy. You know, they're kind of, you know, they're part of the family, but not biologically. And he writes that this indicates quite a strong kinship bond with his wife's stepmother's family, since they maintained the relationship long after Anna died. And, you know, finding out that detail to me is very special, to note that even though Anna had passed so many years ago, they still kind of honor her legacy and do it through love. And I'm going to just read you this letter that the relative had received in 1981. And some quotes. Note, I went with my parents to many Peake family reunions, always held in the summer at my grandmother's home on Main Street in East Aurora, New York. Relatives came from far and near. I remember their names, but have no idea from which Peake they were descended. This all took place before 1910, the year when my grandmother died. I do remember there was a family from Toledo, Frank Southard and his wife Ella Gager, 3 daughters and a son. Maybe you can relate these various peaks to the proper ancestors. If so, would like to know. And unfortunately, the cousin that had wrote this had died only about 4 years later. And this was before this relative that I reached out to was actually able to tie in the Southard family to the peaks. I just love sharing these little tidbits. Another note. So Elizabeth, so this was Anna's mom. They were very close. And according, so this is on the peak line. So Elizabeth, so Anna's mother, so this would be Elizabeth Whistler, who was Elizabeth's grandmother and Anna's great-grandmother, had died in 1839 and actually bequeathed her the following, which I want to read to you, to granddaughter Elizabeth Peak, who now lives with me, £100, 12 months after my death. To granddaughter Elizabeth Peak, bed and bedstead and hangings in my sleeping room with sheets, blankets, counterpanes, and all other things there too. So, let me see. What other notes? So, I already said Eldred Fish died in 1849. The relative said, I don't know when Elizabeth and her daughters exactly immigrated to America. It seems to be sometime after 1854 when Elizabeth Peak Fish is listed as Fish Elizabeth Ladies Boarding School in Francis White's History Gazetteer and Directory of Norfolk, and it was before 1864, which is when Anna married Stephen Gager. So, yeah, so it seems like, let me see, what else? Yeah, so this relative, like I said, was just incredible, and I'm just sharing these as I'm kind of going along. And let's see. This was from Eller Gager's marriage announcement, so she's included in this photograph from May 3rd of 1890. Quote reads, the bride will be greatly missed, especially in musical circles, and none of our singers have been more generous with their aid when charity was the object. And they're looking forward to what I wrote. So, yeah. So, to summarize for everyone, I'm just so happy to be able to return this beloved heirloom back to the relative, and I just know they're going to truly, truly love it. Now, like I said, only although she never had any biological children of her own and came from what seemed like a troubled early life, she was able to really develop herself successfully within inside a loving family circle, which is evident in the photograph of her and her step-grandchildren. And I'm hoping some goals, you know, for next year. We're rounding off the year, and I know I really missed this podcast and the amount of joy I was able to bring with people, and kind of, it's my, you know, break away from the DNA research, which can sometimes be a bit of a headache in itself. But, you know, it takes me back to my roots and being able to kind of connect people with their families, which is really a motivator and why I do genetic genealogy in the first place. It's to really fill in those kind of unknowns and those gaps that are missing sometimes. And I'm hoping for next year to really do this more regularly. I also, the other change I had was I got a new job. I have a completely different work schedule that I've been adjusting to in the past couple months. And between all my other commitments there too, it's been quite a journey, to say the least. And won't stop me from collecting photographs, for sure. I love doing that. It's something I go to every store I go to. I could probably spend an hour just flipping through them. And this is how I found this one. So if I get another one out this year, depending on how much time I have, I do have a week between the holidays off, which I might take just to rest, but we'll see. And I am so happy that you came to listen, hopefully. And cheers to next year if I don't hear from you. I will also, like I said, try to go back on TikTok as well. Again, that was something I really enjoyed, and I do deeply miss everything about this podcast. And for next year, let's do it again. Thank you for listening to my ramblings, being part of this journey. If you have any questions or comments, please contact me at thechosenfamiliesproject@gmail.com. And I'll leave you off. Remember, you are loved and you are always welcome here. And thank you for your constant support and being part of this journey with me. Take care. Bye. Oh, sorry. Did you miss me? I forgot one more thing. Something you might all find funny before I go. I have a cat clock that I got this year. It was making a lot of noise. So just for you guys, I took it down so you didn't have to hear it. Okay, bye.